Thank you for the invitation. I'm very glad to be here. My wife is glad too. It is very unusual to be in a room with so many different countries represented. It reminded me I started a master's study in the near Stuttgart. And there was every day they have a chapel, and they read a psalm during the chapel, and every verse of the 15 verses was in a different language. And I was just amazed at these people who have come to this country to learn about God, and to learn how to serve God, and to go elsewhere to serve God. It's just amazing. Because they're not at home. And that is our topic, home. When you hear this word, when I hear the word, it means so much. It has a very, very strong meaning. It's not just four letters. And so I think, okay, what do I say about this word? And so I did what every good modern person does. I Googled it. And I found something out. I found out, back up one, I did not know that this was a movie. I learned something new. Okay? I have no idea what's it about, but I'm assuming it's about home. Okay? It is a movie. Okay? I said, let's go with pictures. And I put in the home with pictures. And what did I get? Houses. Yeah. It was all houses. And I thought, no, that's a house. That's not a home. And so then I noticed you can put in that you want a quote. And so I got some good ones here. A house is made of walls and beams. A home is made of love and dreams. That's very good. And another one, a home is not a place, it's a feeling. Or this next one, home is where I can look and feel ugly and enjoy it. Okay? And another one that I liked, home is the starting place of love, hope, and dreams. That's where it starts for many people. Some of you may have your own quotes or your own feelings of what it is, but what these things all say is this: home is more than four walls. Home is more than a building. And strong emotions and hopes and desires are connected to this term. It's like home gives us life. And as I was reading some of these terms, an old movie occurred to me. Now, this probably makes me look old, okay? How many of you remember the movie E.T.? Okay? E.T., this is a... For those of you who are too young to know this movie, okay, E.T. stands for extraterrestrial. That means he's from a different country, a different planet. Okay, and he gets left behind, and these kids get to know him, and E.T. becomes weaker because he no longer has the connection to home, and the kids don't know why. Try to feed him, give him medicine, everything. And it's not until he can communicate with him. And the two most important words in the movie that everyone remembers is E.T. phone home. Everyone remembers those terms. And they know, and I'm sorry, but when I saw it in German, it just did not sound right. Said, nach Hause telefonieren. Phone home just sounds better, okay? Because to him, home meant life. If he did not connect to home, he did not have life. And that's what, to many of us, home can be like. But it's interesting when you think about it, there are so many positive feelings connected with home, but in the same way, for many people, it's not that way. There are very strong feelings connected with home, but it's not positive. If you think of it, here's a list. So just some of them that I have. Desertion, you feel deserted, left alone. A terrible feeling. Negative, very negative. Next one. Abused, you've been abused physically, sexually, emotionally. That happens at home. Loss, you lose something. You lose the home. You lose a parent through divorce. Sorrow, that's connected with the loss. You feel that things are not right in this home, and so very negative connotations, or even broken dreams, broken hearts. And these very strong feelings come because home was not what it should be. Because all these quotes we heard didn't work. It's because home was broken. You know, and now, if you think about it, we're coming to this country, hundreds and thousands of people who no longer have a home or look for a new home. For them, this word, what does it mean? It's something they no longer have. And so they have their own feelings. You know, when we grow up, when we were young, we all remember when we were young, living at home, at different stages of life, and we all thought it was wonderful, right? Yeah, kind of like this picture. The problem is that we grow up. And when we get to be a bit older, there is something, a desire in us to no longer be at home. We find home as limiting us, and we see the big world out there, and we want to discover it. It's waiting for us. And so we have these dreams and desires, and they can't be fulfilled when you stay at home. And some travel to see the world. Others want to go somewhere else to study because it's out there, and it's not at home. And the thing is, when you do that, I did that, that when you come back, then when you're gone, then in some there's a little bit of a longing for home, if it was good for you. And then you come back, and somehow you discover it's not the same. It's different. I can remember one time when I came home a few years after I had moved out to study, and I went downstairs in our house, and my bedroom was gone. It was literally gone. My father had decided, children out of the house, our TV room must be bigger. So the wall disappeared. He thought it was great, and I was sitting there, where is my room? You know, and then other things happen. Parents get older, and a few years later, what happens? My father's no longer there. He passes away. And so home is not the same. And we all experience that. We all experience that. And as we leave and experience that home's not the same, then we get these desires to create our own home. They awaken and become stronger. And we always have a beautiful picture of how it should be. And we want to set it up, and so we find someone to set this home up with us, and we find a home to be in, and hopefully a job that will help us to be in the home. And then we wake up one day, and it's not like we dreamed. because the partner's not as nice as he should be, or she. The kids are not as nice as they should be. The job's not what it should be. You notice it's not like it should be. And there's a discontent. And so what people too often do is they change the parts. You know, get a new partner. He's not working. Get a new job. It's kind of hard to get new kids, switch the kids. But you can move to a different apartment or a different house, or you do things, but this doesn't take away this feeling that it's not like it should be. It's really not. And I think it's not just that, but there are many things in life where we get the message not like it should be. Think about it. If we look at the invitation to this meeting, it says there is a Bible verse. We're looking for a city that is to come. This was Hebrews. I would like to read the whole verse. So it says, "For here we have no here on this earth. We have no lasting city. We seek the city that is to come." And I think the message here is that which we are experiencing. What we have here does not last. What we have here is not how it should be. And I think that's the statement there. It's not going to be how it should be until sometime in the future. You know, I had a picture growing up of how my family was. And I thought it was really a good family. And then my father passed away. And then things come out where I hear my family wasn't that great. Where there were problems with abuse and things like that. And I think, oh man, I had my idea was a dream. It was not real. That's not how it should have been. And we all have these pictures of how when life is great, and it's okay. You know, I can remember I have wonderful pictures of my kids all at home and we're having a great time. And today, I have children on three continents. Europe, Africa, America, North America. They're a long ways away. And so home is changed for me, for us. And I can remember when the children were at home. I did a lot of crazy things, you know, wrestling and doing things with them. I don't do that anymore. Because my body says, uh-uh. You know, and then it makes me think of the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians 5. He says, our bodies are like tents that we live in here on earth. He says, while we're on earth, we're groaning. I just need a couple of hours of work in a garden, and I understand that. My body is telling me, oh man, I'm groaning. But it also says, we were not made to live here. We were made to live elsewhere. And what Paul is saying here, and we'll get back to this verse, is, there's something better waiting for us. There's something better that we don't have now. And whether it's our home, our kids, our jobs, whatever, our health, it's all there is always again and again a message. There's more than what's here. And I believe God has placed in us a longing for something that we can't get without Him. And we look elsewhere when we don't have God in our lives. And then we experience injustice, we experience these longings, and we say, that should not be. But it is. But it is. And I believe that the God who created you and me has placed something in us that is a desire for something that is lasting, that is not just temporal. But we've got to go a step back. And he created that in us, but actually he created us to live in a world. He didn't create us to live in a world like it is today. He created us to live in a world where there is peace, joy, love, where justice, where we are living with God. He wanted men and women who would live in harmony with each other and with him. But it didn't stay that way. Many of you know the story from the Garden of Eden. And without going into too much depth here, basically what man said to God is, I want to be my own God. No, I'm going to do it my way, not your way. And the problem with that is we weren't created to be our own gods. And so things just go wrong. And we were created to live in harmony with God. And when we don't have that, we try to become our own gods. What happens? I try to be my God. He tries to be his God. And I want them to dance according to my music. And my music is slow. And he wants to dance according to the music that's fast. And then what happens? Conflict. That's at its root where so much of the pain in this world comes from. From people who want to be God. That's where wars start. And it's not just the wars between countries. It's the wars between neighbors. The wars between brothers and sisters. Parents and kids. And the pain that is caused, that we all feel, is telling us this should not be that way. But we so often don't see the source, the problem. And again, there's this little voice in us that says, life is not supposed to be that way. And again, we see that. We see a young 3-year-old drowned in the Mediterranean. We say, life should not be that way. We see a father who is killed by a drunk driver, and the kids are without him, and they say, that should not be happening. And yet it is, and that each of these messages is that life as it is not right. And the source of that so often is that we have gone away from God and we're trying to be our own gods. And it's not working. Life is not like that. As again and again you could say it. How do we react to this message? Some people say, okay, life is not like that. So what do we do? Well, we could build a fortress. Keep all the bad things out. And so we build a wall. We build in locks and all these things that go to make life safe. But so much of the problem is not just outside the house, but in it. And even in the safest places where people think, okay, my family is okay, we can't escape the world. And sometimes the world kind of breaks in. This picture here is kind of extreme, but it's the idea. You know, that's kind of how sometimes you can feel, is you think, okay, I'm okay, family's okay, and then something happens. Boom! This world is not as it should be. About 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ entered into this world. that it's not as it should be. And he came with a message. He said, you turned your backs on God, but he didn't turn his back on you. You quit loving him, but he didn't stop loving you. And here's the good news. Not only that, but he wants to give you a second chance to start new in a kingdom that he is setting up. A kingdom where love and justice and grace and joy reign. And it was not like a kingdom that was set up all through the history of man in the world by force. It was not, as Jesus himself said, a kingdom of this world. And Jesus was willing to sacrifice his life for so this kingdom could come to this world and so it could become reality for us who believe and in us who believe. That's how important this kingdom was. And shortly before his death, he even said, okay, he said, the kingdom can be in you, but also he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And let him know the kingdom's not here. Solely, only. And then when he was on trial before a Roman governor, Pilate, what did he say? My kingdom is not of this world. It's not like what you think it is. But it didn't just start with Jesus, because actually when you look back in history, there were many people who longed for this God and they walked with God and God gave them peaks to let them know that the life they lived was not all what they had here. And in Hebrews, we read about it when you see this passage. These people did not receive the things that promised them. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. They grasped somewhere deep within them that this world, this life we live, is not everything. And they longed for something better. And this something better was not just up on the cloud somewhere far away. It said God is preparing a city. And when we look way up in the future in Revelations, what does it say? This city God has prepared comes down to earth. And so this new, this different, what we look for is not somewhere way on the other side of the clouds. It's something that God will create here when Jesus returns. It's something better. A kingdom that God is building that will become reality, complete reality one day. And that's what Paul says, and we'll go back to 2 Corinthians 5 and see that he says, we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven not built by human hands. Okay, let's see the imagery. A tent and a house. A tent and a house. Who wants to live in a tent when you're offered a house? And that's what Paul is trying to say, what we have here. We try to make the best of it here, which is nothing wrong with that. But we put all of our energy into life here. And trying to make our own little kingdoms as gods, because our own little kingdoms are the best we can do. And God is saying, there's so much more. There's so much more. And, It's like when my kids were little. This was a long time ago. Okay? My kids were little, and we'd go into a store, and they'd, you know, where they stop, right at the front where all the really cheap stuff is. And you say, no, we want to go back here where this stuff is really good. Say, no, I want this stuff. You know, the stuff for, you know, or they want to go into that €1 shop because they can get a lot. But you say, that's so cheap. Let's get something really worthwhile. That's what God's saying too. Everyone knows a tent is not permanent. And Paul said, that's right. And then he says, he adds to the bottom, for in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. You know? And we think, okay, my wife and my daughter have started working at a camp for refugees, and they stay in tents. And they would jump in a minute for the opportunity to move into a house. They wouldn't argue. They'd say, oh, well, it has to be at least 100 square meters, maybe 120. Oh. He says, in this tent we groan, we long to put on something better. There's something better coming. And the interesting thing, Jesus said, okay, he came and he offers us a chance for new life, which can begin now, where we can begin living out this kingdom here. And yet we know that's not going to be reality. There's the, yes, now it is, but there's still more to come. There is still more to come. God has created us to live with him. And he showed us through Jesus what it would be like. And Jesus died to give us that opportunity. You know, that reminded me of a story that I heard. I can't remember when and where, but I know it happened. Okay? This lady tells a story when she was a kid. She went to her grandmother's house. And her grandmother loved to make a nice meal. And so the table was always set in each place had what would be great. And the grandmother would always say, it was kind of a joke between her and her grandchild. She said, do you know, she would point at this spoon at the top. She said, you know what that is? That's giving you a message. Do you know what that means? And she said, well, no. She said, that means there's going to be dessert. That means the best is yet to come, because the grandmother loved to make dessert. And so once she learned that, and she would say to the daughter, every time this girl came, her granddaughter, she would say, okay, what's the spoon mean? She said, the best is yet to come. And she said, okay, don't get too full. The best is yet to come. After the woman grew up and the grandmother became sick and it became clear that she would not die, she called the family together and she said, you know, because she was a follower of Christ and she knew, she said, I want to be, when I die, I want this service to be a celebration, and I want my casket to be in the front, and I want it to be open. That's kind of weird. Yeah. She said, and I want you to take one of these spoons and put it in my hand. And when anyone asks you, she said, that's a message for all of us here. The best is yet to come. And the second message is, Grandma's got it. She's getting the dessert. The best is yet to come. We taste it here. We taste it when we are with each other. And there are certain things happening where we know it's kind of like a touch of heaven. But it's not what God intended. There's more to come. The best is yet to come. And so we're kind of living in a tension. Because here, we're here. We can't just say goodbye. We can't just go to Star Trek. Beam me up, Scotty. You know, I don't want to be here anymore. Beam me up, God. Take me away. We live here.
And yet there, we've got to keep this picture or listen to these little reminders that God is giving us. The best is yet to come. And when God, I mean, God created us. Don't you think He would know what's the best for us?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what really would be a great dessert to look forward to? And that's what he calls us to. And so there's a waiting. Okay? We wait for what God has promised. There's something better coming. A new heaven, a new earth, where righteousness will be at home. You know, right now, righteousness is not at home in this world. But a day is coming where it will be. A day is coming, and that is, we come here and we have bread and we have wine and we say, okay, Jesus came to earth to die for our sins, to forgive us, and why? Yeah. So that we could have a part in what is to come. And we could have a part of it now. And we could start living it out now. And by our lives, living the life that Christ lived, we can let others know that the best is yet to come. The best is yet. Do you believe that? The best is yet to come. You know? And we need these reminders. We need these reminders that tell us, you know, this world, it's not everything. The world wants to catch us in the moment and keep us captive in the moment. They don't want us to have perspective. They don't want us to step back and say, wait a minute, this is not important. But that's what God calls us to. And every time we suffer injustice, every time we see bad things happening, let that be a message. The best is yet to come. We are not made for this world as it is. Something new is coming. Let us rejoice in that. I think God wants to create in us a holy longing for what is to come. Even as we continue to live here. And so, when you eat of the bread with wine, remember that. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, we say, do this to remember me. He's here with us. But one day He will be with us fully. Amen.